It's now time for the Blown Call Show. All of today's important topics in the world of sports, wrestling, and entertainment, told from a uniquely Canadian perspective. And now, here is your host, Mike the Ref, on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Blown Call Show, the first one of 2017. Yes, I am alive. It is Friday, January 27, 2017. On this episode, I have Andre C. and the rest of mine, Brian Hamilton, who are giving a thorough review of the Wrestle Kingdom 11 show from Japan this past January 4th. And folks, this card was 5.5 hours to cover, so I don't want to hold too much time here in the preamble. This is going to be sort of a two-part show. I just wanted to get this part out real quick here on episode 84 of the Blown Call Show, where we talk about Wrestle Kingdom 11 on part one. Part two is going to drop on Monday, and that's going to cover the New Year's Dash show, which is the equivalent to Raw after WrestleMania for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Now, if you want to get a hold of me, my Twitter account is at MikeTheRef. My email is theblowncallshow@gmail.com. Make sure you pick up our shirts at whatamaneuver.net/Edmonton-SPN. And check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/EdmontonSPN. For those that have been wondering, what have you been up to? Where have you been? Whatnot? Lately, it's just been getting ready for recordings and getting voiceovers done. People that didn't hear, I am actually the play-by-play voice of Monster Pro Wrestling on Shaw TV, which is a local TV station here in the Edmonton area. As well, we will have those shows up and online once they are available on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network YouTube page. So I actually, because of this, I've been so tight on time that I actually asked the host of Geeking It on Podbean, Andre C., to join my buddy, the wrestling mind, Brian Hamilton, to talk about the Wrestle Kingdom show, 5.5 hours of pure entertainment, and for my money, one of the best shows that you're probably going to see all year, from match one to the final match on the card. So, but this is a very long review, so I don't want to tie up too much more of your time here, folks. Let's take it over here to Andre C. and the wrestling mind Brian Hamilton with their thoughts on Wrestle Kingdom 11 here on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Andre C. and I'm joined here by my good buddy, the wrestling mind, Brian Hamilton. How you doing, my friend?
Oh, I am good, man. Cannot wait to talk about these two shows.
Great. Yeah. So we're going to break down, we're going to talk about Wrestle Kingdom 11 that happened on January 4th for New Japan Pro Wrestling. And New Year's Dash, which happened on January 5th for New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is essentially their kind of Raw after WrestleMania. Would you agree with that one?
Oh, of course, man. Two fantastic shows. Really great to watch.
So for a lot of people that may not know this, New Japan Pro Wrestling is essentially the number one promotion in Japan right now. They've gone through results. They're probably on one of their highest points right now. With what they've done over the past probably 5 years has really marketed them to the world, I found. And their exposure to North America has really flourished, say, in the last couple of years. I think what really helped was the tours they started doing with ROH and the fact that they did Wrestle Kingdom 9 on pay-per-view 2 years ago. Did you watch that one?
Number 9?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so that, I think, really helped expose it to an audience here. And since now they have New Japan World and is now accessible by English-speaking audiences, they have you can click the New Japan World link to sign up, click the English link, and it'll break it down for you at least in English so you can, and they, you can either do it in Japanese, and there's a PDF you can get, and it tells you how to do it and tells you where to put everything. Or you can use your Google Translate, but I think with the exposure and now having English commentary with Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino.
Oh, my God.
Right, we're going to miss you on these broadcasts, Corino. But I really think it's a really big positive for exposing the business to this side of the world.
Oh, for sure. When you can hot watch it with English commentator, it's great, with especially Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino. My God, they were so great at calling the action, and I just loved it, listening to them.
I thought, Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino, I've heard Kevin Kelly work with other people, and I'm not a huge fan of Kevin Kelly as a commentator. But when he works with Steve Corino, I like him more because of the way he plays off of Corino.
Yeah.
That's what I think is the positive. Kevin Kelly, I think Corino brings the best out of him.
Oh, for sure. They're really good together. They bring the best out of each other, and they get right into it. It's great.
Not to say Kevin Kelly sucks, because he doesn't. He is a good commentator. It's just I find his style is not for me.
Yeah.
I guess when he's playing off of Corino, it's a little more tolerable. But, and I hope whoever they get to join him for our ROH broadcast and rest of and more New Japan stuff, I hope they find somebody really good, because Nigel's gone, Corino's gone. It's going to be interesting. But so Wrestle Kingdom is their annual WrestleMania show, essentially. Their big show of the year happens no matter what on January 4th of every year. So this year, it fell on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Which don't get me wrong, that place was completely packed.
Oh, for
so, sure. Like, they seem to have these really long 5.5-hour cards every year, which is really tough for a general wrestling, especially for a North American audience. I know WrestleMania this year was like 5.5 hours, but it's still a tough sit for 5.5 hours of wrestling. I actually watched it live on the network. It started at 12:30 at night. And I thought, like, I watched it full through. I fell asleep just after the semi-main event, right before the main event. That's when I was too tired at that point. I just fell asleep. I ended up watching the main event later on that day. But, Brian, how was your viewing of Wrestle Kingdom?
Oh, I loved it, except too long. It took me almost a day to watch it, because I broke it up in two-hour segments. Five and a half hours, almost 6 hours. Ugh, way too long. But I enjoyed it, though.
But at least it was quality throughout. Yes. If somebody told me I had to go back and watch WrestleMania from this past year, full through 5.5 hours, mm-hmm. their 5 hours or whatever it was, I would not want to do that. But if somebody said I had to go back and sit down for 5.5 hours and watch Wrestle Kingdom with English commentary, I would, because it was good quality wrestling the entire night. Even the New Japan Rumble, which is usually kind of the throwaway match of the show, and this is actually the first year I've gotten to see the Rumble, because I think this is the first year they've broadcast it.
I believe so.
Most years it's their dark match, but this year they actually put it on the broadcast before the regular start time, so if anybody was on there, they could watch it. And so we're gonna get into the Rumble. One thing I really found during this part was Corino was really goofing off on commentary during the Rumble, but he says, he'll get serious when the main card starts. He said, "This, I'm just having fun right now." So,
yeah, for sure. And I thought that the to have the Rumble first, and then you know it was
there was I think a 15-minute break in between they went back to black and or went back to the message saying the show will start soon.
Shortly, yeah,
I thought that was great. So, getting to the New Japan Rumble, first two men out, the return of Michael Elgin after, I can't remember what the injury was.
Eye socket
or orbital bone or something. Something in the eye. And this is his return to wrestling, and actually we all know he has parted ways with ROH now, and I think you're going to see him on a more full-time basis, working over in New Japan now to get his skills up, and I think expose himself for WWE maybe.
Oh, for sure. I would love to see him WWE. I think he would be a perfect fit. And besides, he's Canadian. He'd be right in with Owens and Jericho And even Zayn, all those Canadians, and the fans would cheer him like they always do.
Yeah, and so he started off against Billy Gunn, and these two throughout the match until Billy did get eliminated really seemed to were fighting a lot. Like, they had seemed to be trying to build a rivalry. Out next came Bone Soldier, who was the first man eliminated. Then Cheeseburger.
Oh, one of my favorites.
I love Cheeseburger. Then the legend Jushin Thunder Liger.
Yep.
Then Kuniaki Kobayashi, which I was like, holy crap, this dude is old as shit. What the hell is he doing here?
Oh, I know, eh?
It happened a few times during that. Then Tiger Mask is out. Then Manabu Nakanishi, another guy like you're not expecting. Taguchi comes out. Yoshitatsu, the other member, actually the other member of the Hunter Club, yes. Which also was also
former WWE star,
the other member Billy Gunn, who is in this match too.
Yeah.
Then Hiroyoshi Tenzan.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I missed Yuji Nagata. Then Hiroyoshi Tenzan. Then Hiro Saito.
Yeah.
Like nobody. I'm like, and then the final entrant, number 14. Scott Norton.
Like, my God.
Like, the Japanese guys, I know of them, but I'm not, like I don't know a lot of their history. Scott Norton?
Oh, this guy, I've been following Scott Norton since the late 80s, man. I've seen him in so many battles, man. One of my favorite wrestlers to watch. Tough as nails, though. Holy crap.
I remember him from, like, WCW, yes. He was a really popular wrestler in New Japan,
yep.
Working over in Japan in the 90s and the early 2000s. And it was just nice to see him come back and have that. And he was on the card at New Year's Dash, because New Year's Dash seems a lot of the returnees that are part of the Rumble get involved in New Year's Dash.
Yes.
So we listed at the end, and then the eliminations went. The first one out was Bone Soldier, eliminated by Cheeseburger. Second one out was Billy Gunn, eliminated by Elgin. Third was Kobayashi. Fourth, Manabu Nakanishi, who actually, I think he was pinned out of the match.
Yes.
With, I think everybody that was in the ring jumped on top of him to pin him out.
This Rumble was different because you could either get pinfall. It was pinfall, submission, or over the top rope.
Yeah, so you can be pinned out, right?
Yeah, sometimes it was confusing because you didn't know if they're over or tapping or what. I was kind of mind boggled for a little bit on this match.
And then fifth out was Jushin Thunder Liger. Sixth out eliminated was Tiger Mask. Seventh eliminated, Yoshitatsu. Number eight eliminated was Yuji Nagata. Number nine eliminated was Ryusuke Taguchi. 10th eliminated was Hiro Saito. 11th, or number 11 was Scott Norton, which the crowd really just kind of, just air let out of the crowd almost when Scott Norton got eliminated. Yes. You kind of heard this, oh, because, come on, it's Scott Norton. Number 12 eliminated was Hiro Tenzan. So it comes down to Cheeseburger and Michael Elgin. I think we all kind of realize, yeah, this is Michael Elgin's right here, because, like, I know the New Japan Rumble, it can be used kind of for fun too, but in this case, I think Mike Elgin needed this win, and he ended up eliminating Cheeseburger after doing the buckle bomb and then his sit-out powerbomb combo and winning the match. He pins to win the match at 25 minutes, 13 seconds, which pretty lengthy Rumble.
Oh, for sure. I wasn't expecting it to go that long, but my surprise was seeing Cheeseburger last as long as he did. He went from
number four
all the way to being the last one. He impressed me. That's why I love this guy.
And Elgin going from the first position to win the Rumble. I know it's only 14 people, but it's still, that's outlasting 13 other men, which is tough because, like, you got some pretty good wrestlers in that competition. But there was one little thing I wanted to talk about. Was Cheeseburger's outfit on the back? It says "Legendary Shooter" on Cheeseburger. He has like this jacket like thing he wears on match. I just find it's like that he on him. It says "Legendary Shooter."
Oh yeah, that was kind of funny to see. But I think, yeah, I would love to see Cheeseburger come to WWE. I think he'd be perfect for the cruiserweight division that we got.
He could just be sacrificial lamb to everybody.
Exactly.
So from there, it went back to black, and then it started up at 1 a.m. that night. The main card started with actually a match set up from an anime TV show.
Yeah.
It's Tiger Mask W versus Tiger the Dark. So let me break this down beforehand. Over in Japan, there is New Japan is there. Whoever owns them has created a TV show called Tiger Mask W. Now, Tiger Mask W is an anime over there. It's become pretty popular. I haven't got a chance to start watching yet, but I know I'm going to have to eventually because they just finished season one. They're working on season two right now. I'm going to have to watch it at one. I think it's on Crunchyroll.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think it's called Crunchyroll. You can watch it on there. I think Americans can watch it on Crunchyroll. But, like, I got to check this out because the man playing Tiger Mask W is Kota Ibushi.
Wow.
You didn't know that?
No.
I did. I learned that a couple months ago, and I was looking up some few things. And Kota Ibushi, he doesn't play him on the TV show. There's a voice actor that does that. But with all the live wrestling, Kota Ibushi, because if you actually watch during the match, he hit two of his major moves: his Golden Star Moonsault, where he goes over, runs to the corner, jumps over, lands on the top rope, then does the moonsault off, and he hit the Golden Star powerbomb too.
Oh yes, for sure.
So, and that's actually how he ended up beating Tiger Mask. But it was 6 minutes, 34 seconds. Tiger Mask W wins this. But there was one point, Tiger the Dark, who is the bad guy of the show, he hit like almost like a perfectly placed tombstone. Like, when he hit it, when he landed on his knees, because like all it is a guy falling to his knees and making it look like you're smashing a dude on his neck, right?
Yeah.
Like, Kota Ibushi's head had to be maybe half an inch from the mat when he did that, and it looked so good.
Oh, for sure. It was a really great move to see.
Well, I really want to know who is playing Tiger the Dark, because I was asking a couple wrestler friends if they had any idea, but they were saying no. They were trying to figure it out, but I haven't heard from anybody. So if you know, please contact me. Or at least give me your idea who Tiger the Dark is, if you've seen this match or seen him work, because it might have maybe some moves you saw, right? And yeah,
for sure. I'm not too sure who he was, but he was pretty good. I enjoyed watching him. Different wrestler, never seen him before. Same with Tiger W. Both were fantastic. Overall, I thought this was a great match to start out the show. He got the crowd kind of going into it, which led to our first title match of the night.
Yeah, which is the first title match of the night, second match of the main card, is the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship. And it's Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson, versus Roppongi Vice, Beretta, and Rocky Marin. He's no longer Trent Beretta. He's not Trent, he's just Beretta now in New Japan. So this is actually the first time, I think, I know in the last 2 years, all these matches were the last 2 years, this title was contested under four-way and four-ways each year, right? Last 2 years. So it's nice to actually see these titles be just a straight-up one-on-one match. Yes. Or two-on-two. But just to see this. And I was listening to the commentary from Kevin Kelly and Carino. This is the first time in, I think, I was saying over 2 years, that the Young Bucks and Roppongi Vice faced off in a single tag team match.
Yeah.
They hadn't actually faced each other one-on-one since before Wrestle Kingdom 9.
Yeah, it was great to see these guys go at it.
So, I want to talk about Young Bucks' entrance first. They came out with four titles each.
Yeah.
I knew three of them for sure, were the PWG Tag Team titles, the ROH Tag Team titles, and the IWGP Junior Heavyweight titles. But they have a fourth one, and I'm pretty sure it just said Super Kick Party.
Yeah, they got made custom Super Kick Party belts. And you can order them from YoungBucks.com or on Twitter or something like that. That's what they said.
Hey, plug for the Young Bucks, right?
Exactly.
And you can also get Edmonton Sports Podcast Network stuff. And Mike will put the link on this podcast. I don't know the website offhand, but you can find Edmonton Sports Podcast Network merchandise by going to our Facebook page, and the links will be there.
For sure.
including a onesie for a baby.
Oh my God, those are cool.
So, and I loved the way the Young Bucks had their tights, and it was their tights were actually made up of all the championships they own.
Yeah, I didn't realize it until I paused it and looked real close, and it's like, wow, those are kind of cool tights to see, man. I was kind of like, well, I want to get a pair of those tights to wear.
Yeah, and again, still talking about their entrance, when they got to the ring, as they were coming down, they were saying, they actually said, Hardys, you think you're the best of all time? No, you're looking at them. And they're making, as get in the ring, they're making their comments at Matt and Jeff Hardy to sell this feud they're going into, that they're going to be working on the indies with Matt and Jeff, which I think that's huge.
Oh,
you have
for
one,
sure.
Probably one of the most over tag team in wrestling right now in the Young Bucks, going against probably the number two most over tag team in wrestling right now in the Broken Hardys. I'm looking forward to that like crazy.
Oh, me too, but these are two great tag teams. I hope in the future when they go at it, and the Young Bucks, they're one team that I would love to see in person someday. That's on my bucket list of wrestlers, of tag teams and wrestlers to meet in the future.
Okay, so I'm going to put this out there and say, like, New Japan has a 20 count for the rest of the ring. So it ended up happening where Roppongi Vice got the upper hand, and the Bucks ended up on the outside, and they were like, screw this, and they started walking up the ramp. And it's a big, long ramp to get up to the stage. And they start leaving. And so they get about halfway up, and Roppongi, and they're probably, and the ref's about at it five, and Roppongi Vice goes after them. And just as they're getting up to them, the Bucks turn and super kick them. And the Bucks run back for the ring. So Roppongi Vice is laid out while the count's going. And they get back just 19 to count, and they slid in.
It was very close.
I'm not a huge fan of outside the ring crawling and getting into the last second spots, but at least this one was kind of a little more inventive. Like, I'm going to leave, and then they caught them by surprise, and they run back. At least it was – I haven't really seen that. I don't remember, but I haven't really seen that one in a long time, and I really liked the way they did that.
Oh, yeah, it was great to see.
Yeah, it's just inventive for them. Really, it's – there's a lot of high-flying action, like fast, Young Bucks style, lots of super kicks, lots of flips, lots of everything, especially coming from all four of these men. They're all high-flying. Rocky Romero, the dude can fly, but the dude's also, he doesn't stop, man. He used to be known as part of the Forever Hooligans, and he has a move called the Forever Clothesline, where he can... I've seen some matches where he's gone back and forth for like 2 or 3 minutes straight just hitting clotheslines.
Yeah.
It's insane. But the finish came when the Bucks went for the more bang for your buck, where it was the rolling fireman's carry there. Roll over, and then one buck would come off with frog splash, I think.
Yeah.
Or the 450.
Something like that.
And then the other one come off the moonsault. But it got blocked, and Romero ends up, because he went for the fireman carry roll. And when they come up, he got caught, and Beretta pulled the one off the top rope, and the other one got rolled up by Rocky Romero. And we have the first title change of the night, and wouldn't it be the last, new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions in Roppongi Vice at 12 minutes and 57 seconds of the second match. I was a little disappointed in the title change. I thought the Bucks still had a lot on them, but Beretta and Romero are their main promotion is New Japan, so having the titles on a team that's there more than the Bucks are, because the Bucks, their first, their first responsibility is to ROH, so there's always that chance that they can't make a tour that New Japan wants, so at least if they have the titles on Beretta and Romero, they got a team that can always defend the titles for them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think it works out great because you got Young Bucks. They are the ROH Tag Team Champions. They are the PWG Pro Wrestling Guerrilla Tag Team Champions. So it makes sense that they did.
And the Super Kick Party Tag Team Champions.
Well, yeah, but those aren't real. Well, they're custom made. But
they're real to me, damn it.
Yeah, but I mean, to me it makes sense that they did lose them because it's more... To see that a team that is in New Japan more defending them than what the Young Bucks will be. And this was actually the 49th title Young Bucks were the 48th tag team champions, and now we have 49th new tag team champs for the junior heavyweight titles here.
Yeah. So we move on from there to another multi-man match, and it's actually going to be a gauntlet match for the never open-weight six-man tag team champions. Defending champions David Finlay, Ricochet, and Satoshi Kojima. Defending against the Bullet Club, which is made up of Bad Luck Fale, Hangman Page, and Yujiro Takahashi. Versus Chaos members Jado, Will Ospreay, who I love that kid.
Oh, yeah.
And Yoshihashi. Versus Los Ingobernables de Japón, Bushi, Evil, and Sonata. Okay. The first match of the night was Chaos versus the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
I think that was the longest match of them all.
Yeah.
Of the 16 minutes that it went, that was a long, because it was one match elimination, then another team comes in, and that was what it was. I think that was the longest, and honestly, my favorite match of the three in that match.
Yeah.
And so the first elimination came. Takahashi hit his where the opponent's on his knees, and he hits the DDT to him, and to Yoshihashi to eliminate the team. The next team out was Los Ingobernables. And on this team had, like I said, had Bushi, Evil, and Sonata. Sonata is now known as Cold Skull Sonata, which is a ripoff of Stone Cold's gimmick. And the skull looks almost identical. It's a total ripoff. Yeah. And this is the Sonata that used to be in TNA. They made really short work of the club. Like, there was like a couple minutes at most, and that part of the match was over. So essentially, you get two different matches with that little blurb to get the first team, one of the first teams out, essentially. And the final match ended up was the champions David Finlay, Ricochet, and Kojima versus Los Ingobernables, and we got new champions.
Yeah,
Evil hit his This Is Evil move to win the championships, and we have our 10th champion in exactly 1 year.
1 year since they were created. I mean, this is like a hot potato belt. I don't think nobody wants it.
I think everybody wants it. And it just nobody
sees. You just can't keep hold on to it. That's how prestigious, I guess, this title is over there.
Well, we've had, like, there's been eight losses for this title and one vacation of this title. It was odd because it was actually the team of Ricochet, Kojima, and Matt Sydal that had the title, and then Matt Sydal couldn't make defenses because he couldn't get to Japan, so they ended up vacating the titles, and then they just won them back with their new partner, David Finlay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, overall, I really enjoyed this match, and getting to see all the different teams was really fun. I'm a big Will Ospreay fan. I love him. I just think he's so good. The kid has such a great future in this business. Like, what is he, 20 years old, and he's like on Wrestle Kingdom?
Yeah, no doubt, man. That's amazing. This kid is just incredible to watch.
Yeah, so good. And just wonderful match. New champions. So we move on to there, and it's the New Japan Pro Wrestling debut of the American Nightmare, Cody.
Yeah.
Yes, we all know who he is, Cody Rhodes. Me and Brian have met him, and he's coming back
February 18th to Calgary.
Nope, it has been changed. It's now Sunday, February 19th, Prairie Wrestling Alliance, on Sunday, February 19th at the Century Casino. Get down there, get tickets. You're going to want to see that show.
I did not know that had changed.
Just was put up yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Online. So it's now on the Sunday, February 19th. Go see that. Cody is amazing. Okay, this match, Juice Robinson, former CJ Parker in NXT. This guy has improved so much since leaving the WWE.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, outstanding to see him.
He joined New Japan, became part of the Young Lions division, and got and so he they put him with the young guy, Young Lions, not the trainees, but he was one of the Young Lions, was working a lot of younger guys, and he's since been moved up to start working a lot more guys, and I think it's just been great for him.
Oh, for sure. He looked incredible. Great match against Cody. But in the end, though, Cody was just too much for him. And Cody picked up the win tonight.
Yeah, so one thing I do want to say, there in this match, Cody has that one where he jumps up onto the second rope, then launches himself over to the outside from that corner rope. And I saw him do, he went to do it. As he comes over, Juice just grabs him in the belly to belly and flips him over his head. And it was just a beauty of a move, I thought.
Oh, for sure. It was incredible to see. I enjoyed it.
And Cody did. Juice has like a jumping kill switch that he does. Like the kill switch, Christian's old kill switch move, the I'm Prettier.
Yeah.
He has a jump. Like he gets him around and jumps up and then hits that move. That's his new finisher. And he goes getting it around. Then Cody just stood up, grabbed him down, spun him, hit the crossroads, and got the 1-2-3 at 9 minutes and 37 seconds, which I thought. This match didn't need to go long. 10 minutes was more than enough. Like, just under 10 minutes, I think, was perfect. Gave Cody an introduction to the New Japan audience. Not saying they don't know who he is, but for his new character. And gave Juice a great match.
Yes.
Like, he got to work with a top-end superstar and get to shine, I really thought. Cody really made him shine in this match.
Oh,
I didn't even think it was Cody. Like, he made himself shine, but like working with a guy like Cody, you really shine.
Oh, big time, man. And it was a great match. I enjoyed it.
Okay, from there, one bit about the aftermatch. He got in Carino's face and spit water at him.
Yeah, that was...
He's going to be working with ROH for next little while and going into a feud with Jay Lethal. I don't know why, but I don't know why he's trying to build a feud with Carino. Carino's leaving, but I liked the back and forth. Carino did mention that I don't know how he's done it, but he said he's wrestled all three Rhodes members, which is Dusty, Dustin, and Cody. He said that, but I'm trying to figure out when the hell did Carino wrestle Cody?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been trying to research it. So far, I'm coming up empty. So.
It had to be early on in the kid's career then, because like, it must have been before WWE, like when he was first being trained.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm going to have to dig into more research on this.
Maybe in the OVW days or something. Maybe himself. There's a good reason. There's a good chance Carino could have been working for one of those companies at the time. I can't say exactly when it is, but he's worked all. And another quick note, Dusty Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes were at the first Wrestle Kingdom show. Or the first, Wrestle Kingdom then. It was 1992, one of the first Dome shows that he did on January 4th in 1992, which to me, and is now Cody's just building on the legacy.
Oh, yeah, man. It's great to see Cody over there. Cody's one of those guys that, since he left WWE, he's on his own. He's just expanding all over the world, and he's getting better and better now.
And he has a chance to learn from a lot of new people and learn new styles. And like, look at Harry Smith. Look at the evolution of Harry Smith from what he was when he left the Fed to what he is now. Because we just saw him this past September. Yes. So good.
Oh, yeah. And one of our favorites to see. And he's doing so good, man.
And now a guy with the ability of Cody can only get better, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so we move on to the fifth match of the evening. Or fifth match of the main card, and it's the ROH World Championship. Kyle O'Reilly defending against Adam Cole. The best part about this, they brought in Todd Sinclair.
Yeah.
Which I thought was just phenomenal because it gave it a sense of importance for ROH, especially when they're bringing their own official in to officiate this match. So Todd Sinclair actually got them to shake hands, but Cole spit in Kyle's face.
Yeah, I did not like that part.
He did the code of honor, but he spit on that code of honor, essentially.
Yeah.
So, like, the one part I had in this match that bothered me was Cole just, the ref was watching him, and he stuck Kyle O'Reilly's arm in the ring post and beat it with a chair, and Claire didn't disqualify. They said they were comparing it to, like, say, the Stanley Cup Finals, where the refs let penalties go and everything. But when it's a blatant thing like that, maybe, yeah, oh, it's a low blow. Like, okay, I can let that go. But when you got grabbed the chair and smashes a dude's arm, it doesn't equate to letting a few penalties go in a big game. It's not the same. It's like headhunting a dude in a big game and not getting called on it. You know what I mean? I don't like that. They should be shouldn't be letting stuff like that go unless they specify that it's a match without honor or like a hardcore match or no DQ or something. Put that stipulation on if you want to do that, but just don't blatantly spit in the face of the rules. It's just weird to me.
Exactly. That's the only thing I didn't like about this part.
And I just want to talk about Kyle O'Reilly for a second. The kicks, the punches, the elbows, all the striking and kicking ability that this kid has. Why the f*** isn't he doing MMA?
Yeah, no.
Like, he's full on hitting Cole. Like, you can see the welts popping up on Cole's body. Like, he wasn't holding back punches. Like, honestly, I believe this kid could be a great MMA fighter.
Oh, no doubt, man. And the best part is, he's a Canadian boy, too, from Vancouver, which is all great.
There you go. And so, but the finish came at a lot earlier than I thought it would. 10 minutes, 14 seconds. Adam Cole hit three thrust kicks, and then I think it was the knee brainbuster?
Yeah.
It was a knee brainbuster he hit. And he wins back the championship he lost only a month ago at Final Battle.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed. I wanted to see Kyle O'Reilly keep the title and go on a roll here because he worked so hard to get that title.
But I couldn't tell you why. It's already been reported online. Kyle O'Reilly turned down his ROH contract. He's chosen at this point. He has not re-signed, and they say it's not because of the reason. They say it's because Cole was. The plan was always to go back to Adam Cole at Wrestle Kingdom. I don't know if that's true or not, but when you have a guy who's your champion and he's not signed to work for you and he's looking at his options, you pull the title from him. Simple as that. You keep yourself safe. You know what I mean? Instead of having your guy sign away and then you have to vacate the title, it's better just to have him drop it and then your title's in your control.
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't know about that part.
That came out a couple days after.
Okay. I watched these shows and haven't really been online ever for the last couple of days. So I got to go back and do some research and whatnot like you did. So
yeah. So from there we move on to the IWGP Tag Team Championship match. This is the heavyweight tag titles. Not really, doesn't have to be heavyweight, but not the junior heavyweight titles. Gorillas of Destiny, who are the current champions, are Tama Tonga and Tonga Roa from the Bullet Club, taking on Chaos members Tomohiro Ishii and Toriano, who got into this match because they stole the trophies from the tag league and stole the titles from the champions and forced their way into this match. And the team of Great Bash Heel, Togi Makabe and Tomaki Hanma, who, for the second year in a row, won the G1 Tag League and got their shot for this. And it's just, I prefer my tag team matches one-on-one, but I thought this one really worked because they had Ishii and Yano, who, especially Yano, who was the one stealing everything. They had somebody to really work, and both the teams could work against while also fighting each other. And at least I had that story there.
Oh yeah, I thought this was a great match.
Yeah. So the one thing I gotta really say about this match, Carino ends up having to shut his mic off because he's laughing so much because of all the swearing.
Yeah.
Especially coming from Tama Tonga and Tangaroa. Okay, I understand. Japan's not a PG environment and all that, but you don't need to be saying off every single move, right? But you don't need to be saying that every time you go to hit a move or you hit the move and then you scream F you, or when you get hit you scream shit or something, or you just don't need to. You can just go make a sound. You don't need to swear to get your point across.
Exactly. I mean, that's the only thing I had about this match. with too much swearing. A great match, though, otherwise, but just didn't like the swearing.
There was this great, there was actually a really great spot where GHB ended up getting, I think it was Tangaloa, up for the powerbomb and then the falling headbutt spot. Where, and I thought it was just a great spot, and then the save out of nowhere, just right before, because it how long the match had gone at that point, it was like maybe a couple, like a minute or so before the end, you felt like that could have been the finish.
Yeah.
Just the way they hit the move, they cleared the ring, hit the move, and then they just got broken up just at the last second. But the finish came, Yano blag tagged himself in off of, because you could tag your bone partner, because there's only supposed to be two men in the ring at once. You got to tag, so if you got close to your to an opponent's corner, they could tag in off of you.
Yeah.
So Yano ended up blind tagging himself in off of Hanma. Ishii ended up was fighting with the Gorilla's Destiny. They were trying to get Ishii up for a double suplex, but Yano kind of just grabbed the ref and spun him around in a circle, kind of making him dizzy, and then went and low-blowed both members of the Gorilla's Destiny. And Ishii ended up hitting a double lariato, and then Yano rolls up one. I can't remember who he rolled up, but he rolled up one of them to get the win. And the team that got themselves inserted in the match are now the new IWGP Tag Team Champions, Tomohiro Ishii and Toru Yano.
Yeah, incredible.
12 minutes, 24 seconds.
Yeah, I thought this was a great match overall. Three great teams. A lot of these guys I'd never seen before, but I was very impressed with all six men in it. Or, yeah, all six.
Yeah.
Six guys. Great match. The only thing I said didn't like was like the swearing. That's the only disadvantage I had about this match.
I'm the same way. Like, really great match overall. Just, it takes you out of it. Especially when you got a guy like Carino who's, he's finding it funny. I get where he's coming from. I find a lot of swearing funny too. But where he was coming from, like, he had to shut his mic off because he was laughing so much, which is a real disadvantage to me, I think, when you're doing that. You gotta be I love Carino, but you gotta be a little more professional than that.
Yeah, for sure. That's the only thing, yeah.
Yeah, so we move on now to, so that's now what? Four
titles.
That's four titles in a row. Now that have changed. Wait, yeah, four titles so far tonight.
Four titles.
Sorry, not in a row because Cody and Juice were in there, but that's four of four title matches so far tonight, and I think there was what, a total of eight.
There was eight title matches,
and so far four of four have title changes. And you have four to go. So incredible. This is like you're looking at this going, wow, could we see a lot of title changes in one night. So we go now to the seventh match of the night, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. This is Kushida taking on the now known as Himuro Takahashi, no relation to the Bullet Club member Takahashi, though. Just a little history on Kushida, former partner of Alex Shelley, Alex Shelley, they're part of the Time Splitters, and now Kushida is the Time Splitter, Kushida.
Yeah, this was one of my favorite matches of the night to watch here.
Like, the amount of aerial, and then the amount of ground, and just beautiful moves these two have.
Yeah. This was one of those that it was back and forth, hold for hold, move for move, high flying, you had ground attacks, you had holds here and there. I mean, oh, this was a wrestling clinic for a fan.
There was like a super brutal move where Takahashi ends up, Kushida was on the outside of the rope, standing on the apron. Takahashi went, flipped over him, sunflip, powerbombed him to the floor. Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, the dude's head, yes, he's landing on mats. The dude's head smacked and bounced. I thought at that point the ref could have stopped. And this was like only a couple minutes in.
I thought he was out and for a minute, I thought he was dead because he didn't move for a bit there.
Yeah, they were like,
wow.
He looked like he was out cold. And
yeah.
like, you got to be careful with moves like this. Like, that could have went very wrong.
One little wrong thing, and, you know, guy might have been paralyzed or even he could have died right there.
Or even just knocked out, like, knocked for a out. While. That's still a fuck up to your head. Like, it can only get worse from there. So, like, you got to watch that shit. Like, it's tough, man. Like, they maybe had slipped and he pushed him a little farther. Back of his head's going into that ring or the metal railing around the ring.
Yeah,
like that could be really bad.
Well, for sure, it was a deadly move.
Great move, just great move. There was one where later on in the match. Taka was on the top rope and jumps outside onto Kushida, but. Like, he did, like, a swan dive, like, like a swanton almost. But when he came down, he kind of only just kind of glanced off Kushida's arm and just went smack into the ground. Just looked so much like it hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a loud thud when he hit the ground.
Yeah, it was, like, incredible.
So the finish came at 16 minutes and 16 seconds, where Taka ends up, he gets him up into a fireman's carry, then switches him down, and then hits him like with like a side pile driver.
Yeah.
Looks sick. Like it really does look sick, and gets the win. So, fifth new champion of the night.
Incredible.
New IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, Himuro Takahashi. So that's two title matches for two new sets of titles for Los Ingobernables and Nobles de Japón.
Yes.
And yes, it is de Japón because this comes from a team. This team was originally created in Mexico.
Yes.
Yeah. So we move on to the eighth match of the night. It's for the Never Openweight Championship. Katsuyori Shibata, who this dude is like permanently injured. That dude was taped up like a mother. Versus Hirooki Goto. I don't have a lot to say on this. Because I sat there just watching two men just smash the shit out of each other. They talk about strong style. This is classic strong style.
Oh my god, yes.
Like, these two just beating the living shit out of each other.
it was hard move. Kicks and hard hitting. Oh my god, it was incredible to see. I don't know how these guys survived after the punishment they were taking.
Especially Shibata, who he's been injured for a long time now.
He was injured pretty good there,
and he got beat. They beat the living out of each other. Like, this was classic, like Japanese strong style. This is more than what the King of Strong Style does in the NXT. This is classic, old school strong style, literally beating the crap out of each other. Finish came, Goto hits his GTR for the win. Like, think of the final where you have a guy kind of have the underhook reverse DDT and you spin and you smash the arm down and bring him down to the mat, but he does it, it brings him down and smashes him into his knee. That is his version of the final cut. It's called the GTR. Goto is now, this is the sixth championship, number six, new champion of the night, the new never openweight champion, Hirooki Goto.
Yeah, incredible.
Six titles.
I wasn't expecting this many titles to change hands.
And
there's still two more to go. Like, incredible.
So, the one thing I can say about this, maybe Shibata's going to take some time off.
Yeah, I think he's better because he was hurting, and the abuse that he was taking on that injured arm or shoulder, whatever it was, I don't know how he was walking or that after the match, but yeah, I think he better take a while off and recuperate here.
Yeah, he really needs to get healthy again, man. Like, the dude just takes a break for, say, 5 months. You know what? Make your return in July/August there at G1. Take your months off. Just get yourself put in for the G1. Take 6 months off. Yes, I know you lose money in that, but when you're healthy, when you're getting hurt at almost every show you do now, you need to take 6 months off and heal.
Yeah.
And it's not like New Japan's not, like, they're just going to throw him to wolves and never bring him back. Like, they're going to want to bring him back. And the fans are not going to forget about it. He just needs time to go home and heal.
Exactly.
I really, truly believe he should go get healed up. And maybe your return should be his return should be the G1. He then can come back, do his whatever 12 matches in a row, and come back and just be that much stronger when he does, because he's gotten hurt at the G1 every single year for the past few years. He keeps getting hurt over and over again. It takes like maybe a month off to heal up his injury, then goes back still hurt. And you could just see it tonight, or on January 4th, he was completely taped up.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, better take time off, get recuperate, come back when you're healthy, and then go back after your title and hopefully win it back.
Yeah. So we go from there to our semi-main event of the evening for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. Champion Tetsuya Naito taking on challenger Hiroshi Tanahashi. Okay, I'm going to preface this by saying I'm very tired of Tanahashi. I love New Japan, but Tanahashi has been in this spotlight. Like, he has become, like, he's, it feels like kind of like the WWE with him and Okada. They fought each other so many times in that title program, and or have been in those top end feuds for so long. I want new blood.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's what Naito coming in and winning that championship was great. I was happy. I was kind of happy when Nakamura left New Japan, because it gave a chance for new people to rise up into a spot. And Naito has, Omega has, but, and like in Kenny with the leaving of AJ Styles, he raised up into a spot. But I just would love, don't get me wrong, I love Tanahashi. I think he is a phenomenal wrestler. I just need new people in that main event scene. I really do believe that. Or in these top end title scenes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because with New Japan, they run two touring companies, and one touring company is led by the Intercontinental title, and the other touring company is led by the Heavyweight Championship, and Tanahashi has been on one or the other as their top guy for so long. I just want to see something new. But don't get me wrong, this match, if it wasn't for the main event, I could easily call this my match of the night.
For sure.
These two had such a great match together, and because they've worked together so many other times, and just having great matches together, and but there was one spot in this I have to. A couple spots. The back and forth knee, like working the knees. Each man worked the other guy's knee.
Yeah.
And I thought, I like that because it's kind of funny just watching them both just working the same body spot.
Yeah, it was great to see.
And then you got, there was just one spot where Tanahashi was up on the top rope. Goes for his high fly flow, which is essentially like a five-star frog splash almost, right? Or like a folding cross body. And he goes on the outside, but he ends up, when he hits the ground, lands on, like he hits Naito, but he lands on his head.
Yeah, it was incredible to see.
I just was like, I was just praying Naito was okay, because that could have really f***ed him up.
Oh, big time, man. It looked scary for a bit there.
But after 25 minutes and 25 seconds, your winner and still IWGP Intercontinental Champion is Tetsuya Naito. I'm very happy to see the title retained by Naito. I think he's only been champion for a little while now. I think he needs a long, nice long title reign.
Yeah.
He really established himself as one of the top guys in the promotion. Then once he does lose his title, can moves himself back into a heavyweight championship program. And I look forward to the future, seeing with what Naito does. And I would love to see Tanahashi step back, maybe move down to, and start working with a lot of more mid-card guys to help get them elevated up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like you said, a great match overall. Great to see Naito keep the title. Like you said, enjoyed it.
And then we go
to the main event.
Main event of the evening for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Kazuchika Okada, champion, coming in, taking on the Bullet Club's cleaner, the current leader of the Bullet Club, and my male wrestler of the year, Kenny Omega.
Oh, God, yes. And we got to see this guy a couple years ago in RCW, which was awesome.
May 2015.
Yeah.
Anniversary tour. Was it anniversary tour? Yeah, anniversary tour. Kenny Omega versus Scott Justice in Edmonton. I think Mike actually announced that show.
Yes, he did.
So, Like, I just gotta say, okay, this match went 46 minutes, 45 seconds.
Wow.
Super long. I fell asleep just before this one started, but that's because I just watched, like, 4.5 hours of wrestling at from 12:30 to, like, 4 in the morning. So I was tired. I fell asleep. So I ended up watching the next day. But before I ended up watching, I looked online, and somebody said it was 45 minutes long. I'm like, I hope this is good. So I went and watched it from start to finish. It is the best match I've seen this year. Not that there's much to pick from yet.
So far,
but yes. I'm already putting this on my list for best match of the year, and it's like there's going to be a lot. People are really going to have to step up their game to beat to like top this match on a lot of people's best of lists for the end of this year.
Oh, for sure. Like I said, 46 minutes, man. Oh my God, this what like Steve even Steve Carino said this was one of the best matches he's ever seen in his entire life, and he's been around for a long, long time.
That's right. There's so much in this match. Oh, we're not going to break this down.
Way too hard to talk about.
Just trust us.
Just watch it.
I will get Mike to put the link for they're online right now. There is a, like, New Japan put it out so people can watch this match for free online. I'm going to get Mike to put the link in for the video because we currently have it on our Edmonton Sports Podcast Network page. We did put the link up. I'll get him to add it to our thing when we post this up. So you can go and watch that match and just truly know why we are giving such praise to this match. And you'll see why we can't deliver the words to talk about this match. Because it was just that good.
Yes, it was incredible to see. Unbelievable. Back and forth.
Both men hitting everything they know and more.
Everything in their arsenal and more. And still, it was, I didn't know who was going to win. I was like, I thought that maybe they might have went go for the whole hour or so. Whatever.
Full 60-minute draw.
60-minute time limit draw, but it was one of those matches. It's your back, sitting on the edge of your seat, you're like, you don't want to see a loser, but you know there's going to be one, and my God.
I'll say the only part of this match that disappointed me was the finish, was the end. And it's not even disappointed, just I don't like it because the person I wanted to win didn't win.
Yeah.
And Kazuchika Okada retains his championship. So championship retention went 2-for-8 tonight, essentially. Champions retaining their titles. Like, there was six of the eight titles changing. The two big titles did stay on who they I do think Tetsuya Naito should have kept his title. But now with the post of what's come out since Wrestle Kingdom, Kenny Omega put a post up online. He's taking time off. He said he's going to reassess some stuff in his life. So I don't know if that was the plan before Wrestle Kingdom, and maybe that's why. I just thought with all the momentum that Omega had coming into this show, I really wanted to see. Like, and again, like I said with Tanahashi, like Okada's still super young, giving up, but he's been in these. Like this, I think is like his third or fourth show in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom. And I know Tanahashi's pretty much won them all, but I really would have liked to see Kenny Omega become the champion.
Oh, yeah, me too. I was pulling for Kenny, but in the end, no, he came a little bit, just couldn't get it there. But, I mean, you battled for almost 45, you were over 45 minutes. I think they were both just exhausted and just wanted to get this over with, because you could tell they were both near the end, it looked like both their tanks were pretty much drained at the end.
Yeah, for sure. So, let's talk about just Wrestle Kingdom itself. What would you rate it? Out of 10 on the Meltzer scale, or let's go with the Edmonton Sports Network scale. How many stars? This is the same as the Meltzer scale. How many stars out of 5?
I'd give it a 4.
I'd give it a 4.5 myself. True. Just overall, great show. I think everything worked out well. Wasn't the perfect show, but it was really damn good. Like, yeah, almost, like, close to perfect. That's why I'm going 4.5.
Give a big thank you to the Wrestling Mind, Brian Hamilton, as well as Geeking It's Andre C for helping me cover the Wrestle Kingdom 11 card. Check out on Monday when we have part two of the recording that they did covering the New Year's Dash show. Like I said, the New Year's Dash show is the equivalent to the Raw after Mania for New Japan Pro Wrestling. A lot of storylines get started for the year, and a lot of people that didn't get emphasis on the Wrestle Kingdom card do get a little bit more influence on the New Year's Dash card. One statement and note I want to make in here for you. Regarding the first match on the regular card, it was the Tiger Mask match. The Tiger Mask Dark that they were referring to was actually the headliner from the last CWE tour that passed through Western Canada here, the man known as ACH. He was the man who took on the man dressed up known as Kota Ibushi in that match up there. So just cliche there for you guys. Coming up this Monday, once again, will be the review of the New Year's Dash card, as well as my thoughts on the Royal Rumble, because it'll be coming out the day after. I'll give you some thoughts. Real in-depth analysis, as much as I can give. And just a fan's perspective of what I saw and what I expect to see coming out of it. So that's going to be fun. And I'll give you guys a little bit more details of the upcoming action coming up in the Edmonton and Alberta area, including my unfortunate escapades now as a senior advisor with one of the promotions here in Edmonton and the Alberta area. Unfortunately, I've been asked to task some extra efforts, but I'll get a little bit more into that in our next show here. It's been over an hour here, folks. I don't want to keep you here much longer here, though. So remember, my Twitter handle is at MikeTheRef. The Edmonton SBN Twitter is at EdmontonSBN. Please follow us both. The Facebook page is facebook.com/EdmontonSBN. My email is theblowncallshow@gmail.com. Pick up our shirts at whatamaneuver.net. We have the One World Empire. We got the Struggle t-shirts, which actually are selling rather well. I'm a lot better than I've heard a lot of shirts coming out of Alberta have been selling. So, but other than that, just want to tell you guys to be nice to your referees because they definitely have a tough job to do. But they will come up with a blown call every once in a while. And this is the Blown Call Show, episode 84, here on the Edmonton Sports Podcast.
This has been the Blown Call Show with your host, Mike the Ref, on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. For more information on all the network programming, search Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on iTunes, YouTube, and Facebook. Or check out their website at EdmontonSPN.podbean.com.